Well, it's 3 minutes past the hour, or coming up to 4 minutes past the hour of 11. And this is Nigeria's number one for talk, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Welcome to the Family Talk with the Techers.
That's right. And it's time to talk. Yeah, Family Talk with the Techers. And it's time for us to go into this serious conversation. We started this conversation yesterday. This is more like a part two, a continuation of that conversation.
That's right.
Our topic is sexual abuse among family members. It's no news that we've heard and seen situations where a family member sexually abused a fellow family member, and the issue is treated as a family issue rather than a crime. And we asked the question yesterday, is there any sense in family members covering up the sexual abuse case within the family? Most people do it to preserve the family name. As we all know, most of the time, this is usually the excuse for that.
Mm-hmm.
And we also asked this question yesterday. Is it a situation of let's not wash our dirty linen in the public? But having said that, even if that is true, even if that's okay, how does it affect the victim, knowing that the victim is traumatized by the situation or by the accident? And also, she or he would be seeing this family member continuously.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more like scraping an old wound, having it bleed all over again.
Right.
So we also are asking, if it happens in your family, how would you handle the situation? Will you treat it as a crime or a family meeting?
What would you recommend indeed? I mean, it's a dicey place, a tight corner to find yourself as a family member.
We had a few people speak to us yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Some people said that, I remember a certain message I read. This individual said he doesn't care. If you never thought of family before perpetrating this crime,
yep.
I would not think of family
when,
you know, addressing the case.
That's
also
right.
Somebody mentioned yesterday as well that you have to protect the family name because of generational issue. A child who has nothing to do with the crime might be robbed in because of either their family, their brother, their sister,
mm-hmm.
uncle, auntie. It becomes this person is a family of rapists,
yeah.
or this
yeah.
person is a family, you know, this person comes from a family where they rape each other,
you know,
and things like that.
Well, that's the conversation. And we'd also have a guest joining us, an expert to speak on this matter. But first, Lagos, let's hear more from you guys. All right, let's hear more from you guys, how you answer those questions that Andrea asked. And how, if you had a personal experience, maybe you've been a victim or you have, you know, experienced a situation where someone or you know a victim or you've seen that in your family and you want to go anonymous and tell us how it happened and how it was handled.
Hmm.
Yeah, we'd like to hear that. We hear of stories in situations where it's even the father is having something with the daughter,
mm-hmm.
and then the mom is there defending. No. My husband. No, they can't disgrace my husband. It's the devil. It's the work of the devil. It's the work of the devil. Don't let the devil spoil his name. And then they get to talk the victim into accepting that, well, it's the devil, not minding the fact that that experience has certainly changed the life of that individual forever.
Also, statistics has it that 93% of children who mm-hmm. are sexually abused know their abusers,
mm-hmm.
and some of these abusers are family members,
mm-hmm.
a family friend, an uncle, brother, a sister, or even a father or a mother.
That's right. I've spoken to a number of young guys in the past, and even when guys were grown up, we talk about our experience. You know, sometimes the question of how did you start doing the do come up, and then you hear things like, one of my aunties, the auntie was like playing, and before you know it, they just, I just got used to it. And then also interviewing a number of people who are, I know some crazy friends who, you know, they can chase anything and be scared. And you'll be like, guy, why are you like this? And then you get to find out that they had that experience when they were small, you know, they were abused. And it was never, there was no closure. Nobody ever addressed it.
Hmm.
So they grew up with the mindset that, man, your life has to be chasing everything under you know, skirt and all that. And this affects them.
Absolutely.
And in turn, it affects the society.
Absolutely.
So they go about destroying hearts. They go about doing many, many things. So
absolutely.
Making children.
I mean, you know, we want to hear from Lagos
mm-hmm.
today as a family. All right. This is family talk. And we talk family.
Mm-hmm.
We regard our listeners, you listening right now, as family as well.
That's right.
One way or the other, you are from a family. Mm. And another person is from another family. But all together, we make the society. So let's talk about this today.
Mm-hmm. Remember, it's a no judgment zone. So when you come on board, give your points objectively. Also, give your opinion without necessarily calling names or insulting anyone.
That's
very
right.
Necessary.
Also, we might also be sharing some of the ways family members re-victimize the sexual abuse survivor, so to speak. And one of the ways is actually treating them or treating their experience as a family issue.
And taking it with levity.
Well, let's hear from you today, Lagos. If you find yourself in this such a situation where a family member must have abused either your sister or a relative abused your a child, would you treat it as a family issue?
Big question we're asking today. The number to call is 01465-7190 for them ladies. And if you also want to call us on the other line is 0700-993-993-993. How about WhatsApp? It's 0809-597-5805.
Hello?
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Welcome.
Well, this is the first time I'm calling you, but I'm so excited to talk to you.
Wow,
what's your name?
Yeah, Coyote is my name.
Okay,
right,
welcome
Coyote.
You guys are doing a hell of a job there. You're really great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, but quickly, let me quickly say this. You see, a lot of things are not working in Africa. And I think it's because when the whites, when the Europeans and the Americans came to the Africa, they destroyed our system. That family system that we had in resolving issues, which I think would have evolved over the years to a stage where it will compare to their own system. This correctional system that is actually not working, but we don't have a choice but to adhere or stick to. The prison system is not working. It's supposed to be a correctional center.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
That's right.
Something that showed us that most people that once they enter that system, they keep going back into that system. Because the system does not end up correcting them. Countries like Norway and Poland have tried to redesign their own system in such a way that it is no longer a punishment kind of system, but a correctional system. Now, what am I trying to say? When if it happens, do you understand? Whether you're going to report to the system, the police, or you're going to resolve within the family, the most important thing is this: the person needs to be punished and corrected. It's not that you want to kill the person. Do you understand?
That's right.
Now, the system is going to try to punish the person in their own way. But the question, what is usually the problem is that people involved usually feel like the punishment is not.
Man, the nice work. I think we got his point. What a way to start this conversation this morning. He's saying that because the prison system is, and I agree, the prison system is actually very faulty. They changed the name to correctional centers. When I heard that, I felt like, wow, that's a great thing to do, because actually prisons are supposed to ensure that people go there and correct the ills and come back to reintegrated them into the society. That is part of the process. And when they come in, they are better individuals. But no. You go in there, you become, if you steal foul, you enter there, you become a hardened criminal.
That's right.
You come out, and that's the experience. I totally agree with him with regards to dealing with sexual
offenders.
Offenders.
I mean, when you said it's been changed to correctional, does it mean that the system has been corrected?
The system was nothing corrected.
So it's just a title
the
that
name.
Was changed. Okay, we have a WhatsApp message. This is Alex from Ikoyi.
Okay.
It's indeed a sensitive topic. We said that yesterday. Still saying that again today. He says, it's a sensitive topic, Collinson and Drea. To be honest, I cry every other day when this case arises. My wife is a social worker of a very popular foundation. When she discusses her cases with me, I cry every day. I thank God that there is a process on ground tackling such family members who sexually molest children. In fact, there is a man who sleeps with three of his daughters at the same time. A rich man, once the girls hear the sound of his horn, they go to his room and lie naked. And he takes turns on them, ages 10, 12, wow. and 14.
Wow.
There's a process now that makes these offenders go to jail instantly. And that is my only joy.
Okay, you didn't give us, you didn't talk about the
process. The process. We'd like for you to share that process.
What process? So,
yeah, Alex.
A lot of people might need that. Wow.
Also, Damien from Ijesha says, family, name you said. When you're about committing the crime, did you remember a family? When dealing with you, I would also forget family. Religious regalia have placed us just in that. Okay, I didn't get that. In that foolish practice, forgive. No matter what, no bring them near me. I'll be Christian, but I will lead you to hell.
Okay. Now here, that's another thing too. You know, we've had cases of even some religious leaders covering up.
Yeah.
You know, they're aware of this. They say, you know what? You know, God, they now bring. So we're asking this question. How would you handle it very, directly? I don't know whether it's the right time to bring our guest in or we should take a few more calls. I think she's on the line
she's
now,
on
so
the
we,
line.
Can, we can bring her in.
Okay, we have with us Mrs. Bose Ironsi. She's the executive director and founder of Women's Rights and Health Project Managers of Ireti Resource Center. Good morning, ma'am. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, ma'am. Are you there?
All right. We'll try and reconnect with her. And as soon as we do that, we definitely get to hear from her again. In the meantime, we're still asking you, Lagos, to tell us what your opinion is. Of course, we do know it's a sensitive conversation, but we are here for the family. And that's why, no matter what, as far as the conversation is family conversation, you'd hear it on the Family Talk, because this is where the biggest family conversation happens. So today, we're looking at sexual abuse amongst family members. In some cases, children, if you have that in your family, what's the best way? What way would you recommend it's treated? Is it as a family matter or as a crime that it is? Because in most cases, they put family first. Is it the time when we put family last or first? Let's find out. All right, Mrs. Bosse is back.
Hello, ma'am.
How are you?
Verified, thank you. How are you too, ma'am? Welcome.
I'm good.
Fantastic. All right, welcome. Of course, we're talking about sexual abuse amongst family members. I mean, the common experience from what people have shared is a situation where, you know, a family member has been molested or a minor has been molested within the family, and then they get to find out that, that person has been molested. Instead of treating it as a crime, they choose to treat it as a family issue. I mean, you have been working in this space for a while. Have you encountered such an experience, and how would you respond to that?
Okay, thank you for having me.
Yes. You're welcome.
I would say that is more or less like a norm. That is, it happens every shot. And that's why you see people like us, we go out of our way to encourage people to speak up, because we believe that if we have probably 100 cases reported, there are about 1,000 cases that are not reported because of several issues, you know, like the one you have mentioned.
Yes.
It's within the family, it's a domestic thing, let's settle it, it's a family affair, let us not go and report. Are you going to send your husband to jail? Are you going to send your cousin or your brother to jail and things like that? So, these are factors. So, it happens every day. In short, there was a recent one of a guy who a 27-year-old boy who defied 11-month-old baby.
Wow.
And they came to us, and so we're trying to kind of put pressure, I mean, to make sure that the child got justice.
Mm-hmm.
And so we discussed with the mother, tell her what are the processes is going to take and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you discover that before you know it, the community, everybody, including the mother of the child, is telling you, oh, no, it's my husband's cousin. I can't afford to send him to jail. So it does happen. It's happening every time. In short, a police officer during one of the town hall meetings once told me, you know, a deputy DP or what DC or something you can call them, for her, said, madam, this is you are talking now. We used to, we used to play, it's something play within the family. We don't get to talk about it. Parents used to know that their daughter had been defied by their son or father has defied, but it's not an issue. It is you people that is talking about it now. So it has, it's something that is there.
Wow. Oh, I mean, now that you've confirmed that, I mean, in my head, I'm just a number of things are going through. I need to really kind of put yourself together. Now, what is the process? Like, let's say you have worked in a number of cases. What is the actual, maybe some family members, you know, give up to those pressures because they'll be like, it's a whole long stress to go through it, to try and get justice. It's a big deal. Do you think that's one of the challenge, or how easy is it to, you know, persecute such a case?
Yeah, it's one of the reasons why people don't want to go on. If you find out the number of years you get to get justice for people that have been raped and all that, apart from the stigma within the family and the stigma within the community against people who dare to report, there's also the issue of delayed justice. It takes a long while for people who go through that. And so when people even dare to now speak out to say, I want to, it takes time. So what's the process? We will pray that probably we have a very determined family who says, I want to go all out to make sure that I get justice for my daughter or for my son. Because I need to also say here that even male children are also being sexually abused. So, but you will discover that there will be pressure coming out from the bale, the oba of the place, the head of the family, you know, and all that. So the process usually is that when such a thing happens, either a social worker or anybody should report to the police station. The police gives you a paper. You get to go to a general hospital or a recognized hospital, and you get a forensic result. And once that result is there, the person is, you know, kind of arrested, and the process of getting justice goes on. The case is filed to court, and then from the court, the prosecutor make sure that the investigation and everything is well documented, and the case is sent to DPP for the DPP to say, okay, yes, from the report we have seen, there was actually something that is going on. But you see, this thing I just explained to you takes a very long time.
Wow.
Because one, if the police does not have interest by wanting to deliberately keep the case, the pressure, the people would have even been tired. The family would not even, may not be even be interested in to say, yes, it does happen or it didn't happen. And then, I want to imagine how many cases are with the DPP. How many cases, you get a prosecutor that is not experienced. And so there are a lot of things that is making...
Wow. So it's not even because we have been saying it has to do with the sentiment connecting families. We also have been saying it has to do with preserving the family name, even though that is a factor.
That's also very, 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 very strong. I want to imagine a father going to report his son that he defied the daughter. Have you ever heard that? It takes the will, especially the only thing. Okay, I once had a case of two children that was defied. They celebrated the Hemeke. And the first child was 3 years, and the other child was a year plus. And the father was sleeping with them, okay? And the mother, the only reason why the mother came to report to us was that the Apparently, she has left the man because she noticed that the man was sexually abusing this kid.
Wow.
But the only reason why she came to us was because the man was not bringing in
money
allowance.
Wow.
So, and it was in the process of interviewing her that I discovered that she, I asked her, why did you leave the parents? She says, Mama is a long thing. I don't want to discuss it.
Hmm.
And so, but by the time we, you know, encourage her to speak, and she told me, and that is when we pick up the case and the man was arrested and it's in Kirikiri. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, people don't want to understand that abuse on the child is something that we should take seriously.
Hmm.
Then another side is the fact that, so that tells you that there's a lot of abused children who are in the family and they are angry, they are not happy that they were sexually abused, and all that. So when you see reactions of youth on the street and all that, it's not going to be different from what has happened to them at home.
That's right.
Let's even talk about the victim right now, like, right? How does this whole process affect them?
I've just mentioned that I think 2 years ago, there was a research that was done on people that were jailed for sexual abuse, one form of sexual abuse and all that.
Okay.
And the research discovered that about 60% of them said they were also sexually abused when they were young. So that tells you that there were people who were not well adjusted. They were not healed. They had trauma in them and they were venging, you know, they were putting up vengeance on, you know,
on the next person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on the next person. So what do you find with people that have been sexually abused? They are depressed, they are traumatized, especially when people stigmatize them too.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel that they have been taken or due advantage. Sometimes they are threatened, they are coerced to say that if you report, you will die. So they are always afraid not to die.
Mm-hmm.
And that affects them a lot. And so those are the factors. And so that's after we worked for several years in Alimosho, for example, and we realized there is need for people to heal. There's need for a psychosocial support. That's why Women's Rights and Health Protection Organization are founded with the established Irete Resource Center. It's a psychosocial support center where children, adults, you know, going through some crisis of any form can come and talk to somebody that is not family. Because family will be biased. If, for example, it's a husband and wife that are having crisis and you want to go and tell mother-in-law. If mother-in-law is biased, he's not going to give her the right advice.
That's right.
And the next time you hear is that the woman is dead and they say, no, she died.
All right, we'll go on a quick break and continue with this shortly.
Here, we are all champions. With 2 months Showmax Pro for the price of one, you can stream all of the Tokyo 2020 Olympic Games and more. Witness history in the making and salute the power of the human spirit. Here, we honor every story in every event. Let's celebrate together with 2 months for the price of one. Stream the Olympic Games Tokyo 2020 live from SuperSport on Showmax Pro. Sign up to watch world-class sports, series, movies, and more at showmax.com today.
There was a pandemic that led to a lockdown. Then came boredom and more boredom. Now, it's time for the August beating. Lagos, brace yourselves as Never the Bridge TV presents A Cappella, My Mic and I 4. The August beating. One man, one mic, one stage. A night of 100% humor. Venue, Echo Hotels and Suites. Date, Sunday, 15th August, 2021. Time, 7 p.m. Tickets, premium table of 6, 2 million naira. Gold table of 6, 1.5 million naira. Bronze table of 6, 500,000 naira. VIP single sits, 30,000 naira. For bookings, call 0806-701-0127. All COVID-19 protocols will be duly observed. This event is for 500 guests only. A Cappella, My Mic and I 4. The August beaten is supported by AfriPay. Media support, Cool Wazobia Info. This is a Never the Breach TV production. Packaged by Dope Boy Entertainment and Larry Mako Events.
Everybody needs a little help every now and then. Sometimes it's sugar or salt, or an extra hand to change a flat tire, or a small loan. At Kuda Microfinance Bank, we believe that your bank should do more than just store your money. We want to do more for you. So when you use your Kuda accounts to pay bills, buy airtime and make transfers regularly, we'll offer you an overdraft, which is a low-interest loan that you can take anytime you need it. No long talk, no collateral, no paperwork involved. Just download Kuda on the Play Store or the App Store, open a Kuda account and use it regularly to qualify for a Kuda overdraft. Kuda, free banking for you.
Are listening to your number one station for talk.
Your number one station for talk.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
We talk about conversations happening to real life people every day. This is Family Talk with the Techers. Family is everything.
All right, welcome back. It's 11:29 on the clock. It's still Family Talk with the Techers on WhatsApp Lagos. I am Andrea, or will be Techer.
And I'm Collins. Techer. And we do have a guest.
That's right. Mrs. Bosse Ronsi. She's the executive director, founder, Women's Rights and Health Project Managers of EREIT Resource Center. We're talking sexual abuse among families. Ma'am, welcome.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for hanging in there. Before we went on that break, you said something about these victims most times are manipulated, the most times coerced not to say anything. Right. So how can family members, right, how can they tell that this child or get the child to speak up? How can we see signs? What are those signs to look out for?
Okay, first, let's find out how you can identify that the child
has been abused.
The child is withdrawn. The child is scared. Probably she's no longer interested in what he or she used to be interested in. And sometimes it can affect their pattern of sleep. It can affect their education. Their attention might be very... they are dull. You know, they are not happy. They are not the... You know, kids generally are the bubbling type.
Mm-hmm.
They are exploratory in nature and all that. But you see this, it's already... You know, he or she is always very calm and sometimes asking questions. Mommy, are you dying? Is there anything happening to you? You know, she wants to find out. And so when they start asking such questions and looking at you, you know, when you come into their room, they are like, they are scared. She starts getting worried about what is happening. And then in school, the teachers will also discover that the child is no longer... If the child used to be very intelligent, the child is no longer interested in his or her studies and is not ready to play with the kids and other children. So you know that something is going on. And then probably when the particular abuser is around, you will see that that child is not safe to be around with that particular abuser.
Okay.
For example, if the abuser is the father and the mother is leaving the house, you will say, Mommy, I want to go with you. I don't want to stay. I told me, I don't want to stay. Just know that something is probably happening. So these are things you know, mothers should know, you know, or parents or whoever should know that things are happening. So most times if the abuser is the father, for example, or the mother, we encourage the school to be able to report.
Okay.
And because the teacher should be able to know what is happening.
Yeah.
And even if the abuser is in the school, we also encourage parents to look out for all these signs and know that the children need help.
Okay. I want to ask another question. I mean, I'm sure Collins has something else to say. But, you know, when it comes to sexual abuse among families, right, and we know that, yes, we've talked about the sentiments that come in. We also talk about the process to getting justice. So my question is it about the justice for the child or the correction, the perpetrator? Is it correcting the perpetrator, or the justice for the child? Which comes first?
For me, it is the justice for the child.
Okay.
Because that is a whole human being that is going to be damaged if he's not getting justice. And so, for me, the correctional centers, they said they shouldn't call it prison yet. But the correctional centers we have is not correctional in any way. It actually gets there to get them hardened. Mm-hmm. So, but because if you have a correctional center, you want to be able to talk the person out as in the first instance.
Yeah.
Why that happened, okay? Mm-hmm. Why, what led you to that? Were you abused and all that? And they get good psychotherapists for adjustment, mm-hmm. for people to be able to help them to, mm-hmm. you know, adjust in their life. But what you find, that's not it. You send somebody who, a perpetrator who was, you know, who was found guilty or charged guilty of rape, the person gets to the prison yard, the person is even having to come out to be armed robbers or whatever else.
Hmm.
So for us, it's for us to get the child, you know, get justice and hope that will deter others from doing it.
Okay.
And then also make sure that the child gets psychosocial support.
Absolutely.
To heal totally.
Absolutely.
All right. That's a good point to bring you in. Tell us about some of the work you've been doing. And if someone is listening right now and they find, oh, man, I'm going to talk to this woman. I need help. Some people are not bold enough to call the radio station to report the situation, but they're listening right now. They're just saying, I wish I could just get, you know, someone to talk to. So just tell us a bit about some of the things you're doing. And tell us how, if someone wants to get in contact with you regarding maybe to report a case or find help, how they can connect with you and the organization.
Okay. So our organization, okay, for the past years, we've been doing a lot of community engagement and sensitization,
okay.
and giving opportunity for people to be able to speak out.
Mm-hmm.
So over years, like I mentioned, we established the Retreat Resource Center. And what the Retreat Resource Center is at number one Anishore bus stop at Governor's Road, Ikotun. But you can reach us on phone, you know, to speak to us.
Okay.
Can I read out the number?
Absolutely, yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Okay. It's 0700-333-3111. I repeat, 0700-333-3111. Or you can call me directly at that leads to the counselor or to the psychotherapist. But if you want to speak to Bossa Ironsi, my number is 0807-080-371-83072. 0807-381-83072. That's my direct number.
All right.
And what we do, we counsel. We have psychotherapists, counselors, who take people around sections on, you know, can be pre-marriage counseling, it could be couple counseling, it could be child counseling and all that. We have trained psychotherapists who are there to talk to you.
We've heard a lot of people in the space where you play say that sometimes they're overwhelmed with cases and the frustration to try to help people and the family cooperation and all that. So let's take it out of, you know, generally, all right? It is a fact that the number of children being abused and within the family specifically are increasing on a daily basis. And of course, we've talked about the justice system not also making it easy. Mm-hmm. We also talked about them protecting the family and the name, so-called, whatever it is they're doing. Mm-hmm. And so how then can we at least reduce this to the barest minimum? Yeah, we love to try to get people, children, to be rehabilitated. Mm-hmm. But we can also find a situation where how can we make it stop or reduce it to the point where the kids are not, or family members are not molested or sexually abused at all?
Where
is that a tall order, and how can we do it?
Yes, it's not a tall order. If we are just like what you are doing now, people are listening, and they are talking to people in Lagos State. There are so many areas people can report. If you go to the domestic and sexual violence response team,
that's right,
in Lagos State, it's at Alausa, Minister of Justice.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many areas that you can report cases. Like I mentioned, I've given out my number.
That's right.
But I think what we encourage people is to speak out.
Mm-hmm.
For example, for the past 1 year, we'll be concentrating on students going to school to speak to children, because these days parents leave phones for students and all that. And so if they are sexually abused, they can just call us. and then we'll respond to whatever, you know, any form of abuse. You see. Mm. And I think that we must not keep quiet. We keep saying it. We keep engaging.
Mm-hmm.
We keep making sure that people are aware of the dangers of what this will cause if the children are never cared for.
That's right.
You know, and if the family decides to keep quiet, because it will bring a bigger disgrace to them if at the later age the child. That's why you see a father of 50 or 60 is having sex with a child of 4 years.
Hmm.
That man has been doing it for years. He's not been caught until he's 50.
Hmm.
So we must not keep quiet. We must speak out. And when we speak out, we must follow the cases to the logical conclusion. So those are the issues. We must not, for the fact that the judges are, the legal system is, no, we must be consistent.
Mm.
All right.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much. A pleasure to have you with us, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you
so much. Have yourself a great day.
All right. Well, there you have it. Wow. I mean, before the topic, I was a bit, worried about the thing. I think after listening to her again and pointing out these different areas, I'm a bit extra worried. But at the same time, I'm also seeing the light in the fact that at least someone is doing something about it.
That's right.
I'm proud to say that we're part of those doing something about the situation by bringing sensitization or bringing this conversation to the fore again.
Yeah, sure. The interesting thing to know is that these perpetrators look like you and I.
I mean,
and like she said, hurt people, abused people, abuse people.
That's right.
So maybe we are not looking at the root cause of, some of these actions.
That's right.
And like we mentioned again, our correctional system here is faulty. I mean, no doubt.
Absolutely.
I mean,
if you take that, I went to on the NCDC website, Love. That's the NSCDC, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's civil defense. No, the NDLEA.
Okay.
It's the NDLEA, yes. Law, yes, of course, for drug and law enforcement.
Okay.
I checked their website and I realized that part of their duties, for example, this is just a typical example, is to, get to help people who are dealing with addiction, drug addict.
Okay.
To see the need to drop it. But all you see most times is persecution. They arrest you. We arrest you. Oh, come, you're gone. And at the end of the day, they don't do anything. I think these things have to change. It's high time we realize that, a broken person is a broken society.
If
you keep breaking people, you keep pushing things under the carpet, not addressing issues. These individuals don't think that because they have not talked about it, they are done with it. It's over. It is going to resurface in their later stage in life, and then it's going to be a menace in the same society
that you and I live in,
that you claim to protect and all. We have to address this. And this is an appeal. It's not like, please, it's an appeal to everyone out there. See the need for us to correct this issue in our society. And sexual abuse amongst family members is one of the things that should be addressed. However we want to address it, let's remember that a broken person
breaks other people.
Absolutely.
Chido Zie Silas from Okota says, good morning, the techers. Most families are more concerned about their family name than the victim.
Yeah.
There are even some cases where they blame the girl for wearing seductive clothes. This trend is on the increase due to the high exposure to pornography. Two Exile from AGCT says cases like sexual abuse among family members should be treated as a wicked crime.
Hmm.
Another here is saying, this is Fred. He says, okay, he's angry. He says, I would send you to jail without thinking twice, wherever you are, and I will ensure you rot there.
Hmm.
Okay.
I know, emotions are high.
This is Fred talking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, another here is saying, good morning, the beautiful couple. I was molested by my teacher when I was 8 years.
Wow.
And nothing was done about it because she was a family friend.
Jesus.
Okay.
Calls are coming in, perhaps.
Hello, good morning.
Yeah, what's up, Lagos?
Chest alive.
Thank you very much. For me, I think we should play preventive role. As parents,
okay,
monitor your daughters, your boys, monitor them. I think it's better, like the madam said.
All right.
The judiciary, they are not helping matters.
All right.
But we, on our own, we need to monitor our daughters and our boys. Prof.
Yes.
Hello, Prof.
Yes, we're listening.
I want to thank Nigeria Info.
Okay.
I want to thank Chief Quadri.
Okay.
I played What a Minute yesterday, right?
Okay.
You can't believe it. I won 10,000.
Okay, congrats to you. I mean, that's people win every day. So we win every day. I mean, that's some cheering news at least for Chris. Congratulations to you, Chris. But let's take another call and hear from them.
Hello, good morning. Welcome.
Hello, good morning, Collins and Andrea. I would like to remain anonymous.
All right, go ahead.
Well, the honest, for me, I understand where all this, the topic is going, but I want to ask a question here. I was harassed and I was assaulted when I was young also.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a victim of all this sexual harassment and the rest. And
to what degree did they like sexually?
Yes.
Okay.
And it was like an aunt that did that to me, and it damaged me for a while.
Wow.
How old are you? Sorry, I'm sorry. I'm cutting. How old are you?
I was it took a period actually. Well, I was like 10.
Okay.
Until I was like 15-ish.
Wow. Wow.
And they affected me in a very, as a guy, you just feel at a point that it's normal. But to be honest, it damaged me. And at a point, I felt that, okay. And for me, I made a mistake also. And I've been thinking about it for a long time. How to gain forgiveness from that person.
Okay. When you made a mistake, was it like similar situation? Did you?
No, it was not. It was just probably touching and playing. But I was young also. I was 16. She was like, I think 12.
Mm-hmm.
But she was. It's still sexual harassment. I'm over 30 now, and thinking about it, you can't say particularly like, because I took advantage of that lady.
Yeah.
I was young. I was stupid. I felt, but it's still sexual harassment. Forget that we are kids. We're playing around.
Yeah.
It might not seem like anything, but it is sexual harassment. To be sincere, there are some things we do when we're young. Some things we see when we're young that we felt that was right.
Yeah.
But it was not right. I felt guilty for a long time, and I'm trying. I don't know how I'm going to reach out to the person because I don't know how the person perceives it. That's another thing.
All right. So I think you actually need to see a therapist, right? You need to
consult a professional.
A professional to guide you. It's very important. You know, as a man, you might think, expressing me sometimes, when my wife would tell me, you need to see a therapist, I'll be like, in other cases, I'll be like, what do you want to tell me, But I think it's something you have to consider because you had a traumatic experience. You also, are feeling guilty now because of, the mistake you made. I think that's a solution for you.
Feeling guilty for me didn't start now. It started with me like way years back. Every time I hear about this sexual harassment,
it comes back haunting you.
It comes back to me.
I mean, from what Colin said, I think that's the way to go. And I also want to commend your boldness for saying this.
Yeah.
It shows that you really do need help. It shows that you really do feel bad about the incidents. And it wasn't your fault.
At all.
Terrible.
It wasn't your fault.
Terrible about it.
All right, man. But
I might need a therapist, yes. But I'm still thinking, do I need to talk to the person it happened with, or I should just let go? Because
Are you still close with the person? Are you still friends with the person?
Well, we hardly see, but... But
you can locate the person.
Of course, I can locate the person.
The
person is like my best friend's younger sister.
Okay, wow. So you should find still you need the professional advice to guide you how. I think you should see the person, but don't do it yourself. Mm. All right. You need and you can get advice anonymously. You don't necessarily have to meet a professional one-on-one. These days, people can give you advice without necessarily, you know, the professionals know how to keep your identity. So if you're worried about that, no need. But find out the best way to go about it. You might need some professional tips on that too. Thank you so much for sharing with us. We have Gilbert on the line from Lagos Island.
Hi, Gilbert. Welcome.
What's up, Lagos?
Cheers to life.
As you know, you are the people that I love. I love you guys.
We love you.
Thank
too.
You.
God bless you. Really good.
God bless you too.
Thank you.
Now, this thing happened with my daughter.
Whoa.
Somebody who she calls an uncle, the guy is close to the family. For years, right from 7 years, this guy started abusing my daughter. We didn't know. But she was afraid of letting it out. But unknown to me, I've started teaching this girl how she can do self-defense. But she couldn't do it then when she was around 7.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this guy now came back to repeat the same act where my girl now was about 15.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that this girl escaped from this guy's hand because of this self-defense?
Yeah.
Wow.
He has to use her leg, hit this guy on his manhood,
hit
him hard on a very other place, and then escape. That was how my girl escaped from this guy's hand.
Wow.
Now, if we have not taught her all those things, how would she have escaped?
But
I thank God that this guy couldn't penetrate this girl. Do you understand what I'm saying?
That's right.
So these are the things that we need to be teaching our girls.
Yeah.
Even our boys.
That's right. Self-defense.
You know, when they are close, you know, when they are going out, you tell them, avoid anybody coming to touch you. Uncle is this, uncle is that, no uncle, no auntie, you know. Some of them have ulterior motives. You get it.
Yes, that's right. That's
right. It's very wrong. It's very wrong for many parents to have just leave their parents like that and then give them porous to so deadly people like that.
Mm.
We never knew, we never thought that this guy could do such a thing.
Wow.
We so trusted this guy, trusted him with everything. He comes to our house, even in our absence.
Most of them are trusted friends and family members, you know.
Yeah.
So I hope you did. You persecute him, and did you also give?
I wanted to. It was my pastor, my reverend, that told me I should please. I should please. We should leave it. I let it be as a family. So he called the guy, and he talked to the guy. So I told my pastor, I said to him, I don't want to see him a million miles away from my family. Let him stay a million miles away from my family. If I see him close, I will make sure I lock him.
All right. So how about your daughter?
Your daughter.
I hope you've given.
Were you able to help her out?
Yeah, we did. We did. You know, she had to open up. We had to sit her down. We began to interview her. She began to tell us how the whole thing started. But, you know, the guy was not able to penetrate her. But each time the guy comes around, we hook her, his hand on her neck, touching our parts of our body, kind of, you know. So we had to talk to her, and then we encourage and we advise her. We try to let her know that it is out of her mind, so that she can focus, and then move away from all those, you know. Don't stay with anybody at a close, at a, you know, alone. Don't stay in the dark. Don't go. Don't walk late. Don't come home late. Just whatever you're doing, keep a company with somebody who you know. That is a feminine like you, like girl like you.
All right.
No, bring them home. Even at all, you have a friend, bring them home so that we can know who they are.
That's right.
And then we can be able to assess what they are capable of.
All right. Thank you so much for sharing with us. Thank you so much.
I love you guys. God bless you guys.
God bless you too. Amen. Wow.
Okay. We need to go on a break. When we come back, we'll wrap this conversation. Thank you, Lagos, Nigeria.
Well, that's the much we have on the show today. Thanks for being a part of the conversation. Really appreciate you. It's quite emotional and very sensitive. And we hope that somebody has actually learned something. But if you need help, I think...
You can call this number. It's a mandatory reporting of child abuse and sexual abuse of a minor. 112 or 08137960048. I'll take the number again, 081-3769-60048. or you can dial 112. At this point, we need to step out of the studio. The news will be coming up next at 12 with Yvonne Ohaifo. I am Andrea Odwobi. Take care.
And I'm Collins. Take care. God bless you.
God bless our homes.
And God bless Nigeria.